What a month. I wrote last month's article on the very brink of lockdown, and now we are plunged into times not previously experienced by this generation or even the one before it. Throughout the latter half of March, a cold and at times strong northeasterly wind has blown, and despite clear skies, has on occasion brought flurries of snow and hail. It has added to that sense of being up against something, and has without doubt slowed the passage of our summer visitors from the south. The new world order has stopped us in our tracks, our plans on hold or dismantled. What we really care about has come to the fore, and the rest, well, quite honestly, it can wait. The confinement and strictures placed on us suddenly confer immense value on space and movement, and maybe even solitude. Our garden, if we are lucky enough to have one, the local park or countryside walk have been invested with all the longing and magic we would normally reserve for a summer holiday. With all of this comes the opportunity to reconnect, perhaps at the most basic level with our families and ourselves, but also with the place we live in and the natural world on our doorstep. Outside in nature, it is reassuringly business as usual and provides a welcome and restorative constancy when all is in turmoil in our man-made world. Never before have our gardens and green spaces held quite so much allure. And of course, if we allow ourselves to be drawn, there is endless fascination to be found. As our roads and transport networks have grown quieter, so it seems the volume of birdsong has increased. Of course, this is normal for springtime, but for once the competing background din has diminished and birdsong, in all its varied glory, rings out across our towns. I can now hear the reply to jousting birds. The wren declares his patch to another wren across the garden, while blackbirds and robins pause to hear their neighbour's response, marking out and defining territorial rights through their song lines. One of the great revelations of birdwatching is to connect a bird with its song. Knowing a bird's song and its varied calls is to be awakened to a secret world of avian conversation and a more deeply woven thread of our landscape's fabric. Follow the song or the call, and you may be surprised by the bird at the end of it. Some of our smallest, most unassuming birds have the loudest, prettiest songs. All that song and dance is, of course, about nesting and raising chicks, and even a short time spent in the garden will begin to reveal where those nests might be. Pigeons and crows make no secret of their shabby piles of sticks high in the trees, but thrushes and wrens are altogether more secretive. How many nests you have in your garden will largely depend on how much you have been able to resist that peculiarly English obsession of tidiness. Did you leave the messy ivy intact? Did you plug every hole in your eaves? Did you clear that thick brambly corner of leaves and weeds? Did you fix the broken window in the shed? If so, maybe you put up nest boxes instead, and hopefully your garden will be a home to the next generation of garden birds. It can be an epiphany to recognise our predisposition to tidy in times of stress, and instead to let go and see what nature makes of our mess. I have allowed a flower bed with colourful daffodil clumps to become overgrown with lamium album, or white dead nettles, so called because of their resemblance to stinging nettles. Dead nettles are harmless but far from dead. Delicate white ruffs of flowers suffused with green cluster up the dead nettle stems. The daffodils are fine and provide a splash of colour, but the bees love the dead nettles, having no prejudice for weed or cultivar. In these difficult times, while we have lost a bit of control, let's take a leaf out of nature's book and see what grows up between the cracks, and not be too quick to cut it off or patch it up.